Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Javai.
Today we will be continuing our category for the month of June, spreading mental health awareness. And our case is about Kristen Gilbert, also known as the Angel of Death. Take it away, Javai.
So the case I have for today is on Kristen Gilbert, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe she's actually our first female serial killer that we've talked about on Real Time Crime. And she was a nurse living in Massachusetts. She was married to her college sweetheart, Glenn Gilbert. She was a practicing nurse for many years after she became a nurse in 1988, the same year she married Glenn. She graduated from Glenfield Community College, also in Massachusetts. So right after she graduated college, she started working at the VA hospital in Northampton in 1989. Shortly after her nursing career started at the VA, the other nurses at the hospital noticed that a lot of the patients were quickly dying under her care. And only a couple months into her nursing career, they jokingly gave her the nickname of the Angel of Death. This nickname came because it seemed as if Kristen was always present and taking care of the worst patients and during the worst situations. For example, if she was working on a shift and a patient was coding, she was always there rushing to perform CPR on them. And it always seemed as if more than one or two patients during her shift went into cardiac arrest. So the rest of the staff members around the hospital really saw her as a hero because of this. And it made her seem as one of the hardest working nurses around the hospitals. Her coworkers seemed to like her, and they remembered her for organizing the yearly Secret Santas and for organizing food drives for the homeless. So I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about her early childhood. She had a somewhat normal upbringing. Two parents, they were married, they lived in a nice neighborhood, she had a nice education, and really no significant trauma while she was growing up. So while the trial and all the research was going on for her case, everyone just questioned themselves and wondered what went wrong with her. Well, Kristen's family says that when she was a teenager, she had a tendency of lying to the point where they called her a pathological liar, even when she was like 3 and 4 years old. Isn't that like really young to call them pathological liars? Like that's more like 8 years old.
It feels very young to make that assumption or that call.
Aside from lying, she was also very manipulative with everyone around her, especially her parents. She lied about her family. She lied about her parents. She lied about the way they treated her. In a YouTube video that I was watching, she would tell her friends at school that her cousins were part of like a TV show. Then she told that her parents were drunks and that they would beat her. So she was just lying about her life in general, making false accusations left and right. As far as the manipulation went, it escalated as far as making suicidal threats if she didn't get her way. And this went from early on in her childhood up until she was like late in her career, her nursing career. So we see this all throughout her life. Because of her suicidal threats, she was in and out of psychiatric hospitals through her early teenage years, up until her late and mid-20s. So in 1990, Kristen gave birth to her first son, and she returned to work in 1991. So coincidentally, the deaths started rising once she went back to work. In 1993, she had her second child. But then months later, sources say that her marriage started to suffer some bumps in the road. She continued to work in the VA, and one day, a nurse noted that Kristen went into a patient's room with a syringe. She thought it was strange because that patient in particular only had medication in pills and tablet forms. So it was just very strange that she was carrying a syringe if, you know, that patient didn't need it in any particular reason. A couple of minutes later, that nurse heard the patient yelling in pain. And then a couple of minutes later, she heard that the patient went into cardiac arrest and died. So she thought it was odd, but didn't really think much of it. And, you know, it was common that patients went into cardiac arrest all the time. And, you know, patients were dying left or right, but people didn't look too deep into it. So as I mentioned before, all of her coworkers, not just her nurse coworkers, but everyone at the hospital really, really liked her. So she was eventually switched over to the overnight shift at the VA, and she met the overnight security officer, and they eventually started having an affair. This man in particular also saw Kristen as a hero because of her quote unquote hard work as a hero. Like I mentioned before, you know, everyone thought that she was a very hardworking nurse. They thought she was a hero because she was always there performing CPR and like saving patients, even though she wasn't really saving patients. The rumors started becoming more prevalent and the hospital started piecing the pieces together. Then they realized that within a 7-year span, they had about 350 deaths. The odds of this being an accident, according to statistics, was 1 in a million. So the fact that there was only one nurse involved in all of these 350 deaths was literally 1 in a million. And that 1 in a million chance was Kristen. Like, you know, what are the odds? So at this point, it was believed that because of the history that Kristen had, she had a borderline personality disorder. Some sources believe that her affair was due to the fact that Kristen actually liked the rush and the thrill it brought her life, just as much as the killing did as well. And just as I mentioned everything before, she basically had like a borderline personality disorder, along with the manipulative behavior, the suicidal threats, the lying and everything. So this affair was not seen as like she wanted to have an affair. She just wanted it for the rush and the thrill that it brought to her life. So the same thrill that she found through lying and manipulating people and her affair, she also found through pumping extreme amounts of epinephrine into her patients' IVs, which then led them to going into a cardiac arrest and then lying. So piecing all these pieces together is why in the past 7 years, over 350 patients of her patients died. You know, essentially she was a serial killer, and in the past 7 years, for no reason, she would just, you know, inject insane amounts of epinephrine into her patients and they would just die. So for 7 years, she really went like unseen, and a lot of her coworkers just really just shoved it under the rug and made it seem like a joke, because something really dark, just, I guess it didn't really seem like it was true enough for them to look into it. Some sources that I read also say that she might have been doing this even to impress the man that she was having an affair with, which seems really odd, but for a pathological liar like her, it might be true. She was doing anything possible to, you know, impress the person she was having an affair with. She also really liked the attention she was receiving by being like seen and approached as the hero in the hospital. Everyone, you know, thought she was so hardworking and she was this hero. So obviously she loved that and that attention that it brought her. Eventually her marriage started to get worse and her husband just got really, really sick. Some doctors speculate that she was even poisoning him, because there was one instance where she told Glenn that she was taking blood samples out, but instead she injected something into him and it made him pass out. So luckily he fully recovered, but because of all of this, the security officer, her boyfriend, gave her an ultimatum and said, you either pick your husband or you pick me. that ultimately led Kristen to asking her husband, Glenn, for a divorce. Even word on the street was that if you, for whatever reason, had to end up at the VA hospital and you were healthy and you just had a minor accident, you were not going to make it out. Like, everyone in Massachusetts knew that people were dying left and right. Like, this is how bad it was. Like, people were just dying for no reason.
And it went on for 7 years.
7 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as word on the street started getting worse and worse and worse, her coworkers and other nurses started becoming more suspicious of Kristen, and they started questioning her work and her work ethic, and, like, you know, started questioning what is actually going on. She's not just, like, this hero. She's not an actual, like, something deeper is actually going on. So in 1996, the VA police started a federal investigation behind the deaths after two nurses reported the suspicious deaths of two patients and the decrease in epinephrine supply. So luckily, these two nurses put two and two together, and they said, well, these two perfectly healthy patients that shouldn't have died and our, you know, epinephrine supply is decreasing when it shouldn't be decreasing, so something is going on. Well, Kristen threatened her ex-husband and her boyfriend to not speak to the investigators because they obviously knew what was going on. They knew Kristen, they knew her behaviors and her tendencies. But because it's a federal investigation, they obviously have to speak to everyone that is closely related to her, everyone that works with her, and, you know, everyone that's just around her. Well, Kristen went as far as running them over with her car as long as they didn't speak to them. Because she knew that it would, you know, get her in trouble. She eventually quit her job and threatened to commit suicide, which led her to being admitted into a psych hospital for a few days, where she called her boyfriend, the security guard. And over the phone, she confessed to killing people at the hospital. So she basically, you know, over the phone said, yeah, I've been killing people and it's me. After she made this confession to her boyfriend, he quickly reported it to the police. And a couple of weeks later, Kristen used the public phone to make a bomb threat against the VA. In her mind, this was like her tactic to stop the investigation at the hospital, which sort of worked for, you know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks. However, in September of 1996, the police got a warrant to search her home, and they found enough evidence to prove that she was the one that made the bomb threat, and she was sentenced to 15 months in prison. At this point, they already have enough evidence and enough grounds to start a trial for the murders of the people and the patients at the VA, because they have her confession that she told her boyfriend. They have the report from the nurses, and they have just overall suspicions from the VA. So on March 2001, she goes on trial, and at the end of the trial, she was found guilty of four murders, and she was sentenced to four life sentences without the possibility of parole. You may be asking why she was only charged with four murders. This is because they only had enough evidence to prove that she killed four patients, although she had killed over 350 patients. But the prosecutors and the hospital could only come up with enough records to prove the murders of four specific patients. But it's evidence that she killed over 350 patients in the span of 7 and 8 years.
She really went on a spiral at the end. Like, that was crazy. Yeah. Affair, went to her husband for a divorce, called it a bomb threat. Like, oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Like, what makes you think that you're not going to get caught? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Your name is on patient records. Like, it's so blatantly obvious in hospital. Well, I guess maybe now they keep better track of their supply, but she got away with it for 7 years before they realized. Yeah.
So she tried to appeal her sentence in 2003. However, she took it back because the state's attorney told her that if she went through with the appeal, they could potentially consider the death penalty. So obviously she didn't want this considered, and she took it back. Till this day, she's still in prison, where she will be for the rest of her life.
if I did the math correctly, she's in her early to mid 50s, because she graduated nursing school in 1988. So she's around 50. But nonetheless, she will remain in prison for the rest of her life. For this specific episode, I want to point out that although Kristen didn't have a specific diagnosis by like a professional, psychiatrist or psychologist, she did fit a lot of the criteria. For example, the pathological lying, the manipulative behavior, her personality disorder, the suicidal threats, the in and out the psych hospital. So evidently she did have some mental health problems going on with her, with herself. So I want everyone to know that you don't necessarily need to have a professional quote unquote diagnosis. Your struggles are still valid nonetheless. And that's something that we hope everyone still keeps that in mind. So that's a takeaway I have for this episode. As always, Hannah and I will continue linking our resources in our description box and our bio. And as always, if you want someone to talk to, our DMs are always open and don't hesitate to reach out to us.
That's all we have for today. We'll see you next week as we wrap up our category of mental health awareness.
Don't forget to follow us on social media if you haven't already, on Facebook and Instagram at